Let me ask you something before we do anything else today. If you looked at a weather briefing right now and you saw the letters WST sitting in the products list, would you know what that is? Would you know whether it applies to you and whether it means turn around? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. It's Air Venture Week. Right now, as we speak, airplanes are streaming toward Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, from every corner of the country. And a whole lot of those airplanes are single-engine pistons flown by folks doing the longest cross-country of their lives. So today we are going to walk through the one weather product that ends more Oshkosh trips than any other. Not fog, not wind, thunderstorms. Specifically, the convective SIGMET, the afternoon buildups that Wisconsin and the whole upper Midwest are famous for in July, and how you time your arrival so you're on the ground with a bratwurst in your hand before the sky turns purple. Let's walk through this together. Before I get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Flying your first airplane into Oshkosh this week is one of those milestones that stays with you forever, and it's the kind of thing worth marking. aviationsoul.com. Okay, let's set the scene, because scenario is how this stuff actually sticks. It's the third week of July. You're a fresh private pilot, maybe a couple hundred hours, and you've got a Cessna 172 loaded with a tent and a cooler and a buddy in the right seat. You launched this morning from somewhere south, let's say Missouri, and the plan is to make Oshkosh by early afternoon. The morning was gorgeous. Clear, cool, smooth air. You're feeling great. And that is exactly the trap. Because here's the thing about summer weather in the middle of the country. The morning tells you almost nothing about the afternoon. Let me explain why, and then I'll show you the products that let you see it coming. In the summer, the ground heats up through the day. That heating drives rising air. Add in the moisture that sits over the upper Midwest in July, all those lakes and all that farmland transpiring water into the air, and you get the raw ingredients for convection. Heat, moisture, and something to lift it. By early afternoon, that rising air starts building cumulus. By mid-afternoon, those cumulus have grown into towering cumulus. And by 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon, you've got full-blown cumulonimbus. Thunderstorms, the most concentrated hazard in all of aviation packed into one cloud. This is called diurnal convection. Diurnal just means daily, tied to the daytime heating cycle, and it is stunningly predictable in its timing, even when it's hard to predict in its exact location. That predictability is your friend. Let me show you how to use it. Start with the big picture the day before you fly. And here I want to introduce a product that is not, strictly speaking, an aviation weather product, but every smart cross-country pilot uses it. It's the convective outlook from the Storm Prediction Center. The Storm Prediction Center is part of the National Weather Service, based in Norman, Oklahoma, and their whole job is forecasting severe weather. Their convective outlook shades the country into risk categories: marginal, slight, enhanced, moderate, high. When you're planning a July trip to Oshkosh, that outlook is the first thing you should look at the night before, if Wisconsin is sitting under an enhanced or moderate risk for the day you're planning to arrive. You now know, a full day ahead, that the afternoon is going to be ugly. That's not a briefing detail, that's a planning decision. That might be the difference between launching at first light and launching at 10 in the morning. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The go or no-go decision is not one decision you make at the airplane. It's a series of decisions, and the earliest ones are the cheapest. Moving your departure 2 hours earlier the night before costs you nothing. Trying to sneak under a squall line at 4 in the afternoon can cost you everything. Now, let's get into the actual briefing, the morning of. You're going to pull a briefing, whether that's through an official source like 1-800-WX-BRIEF, run by Leidos for the Federal Aviation Administration, or through one of the electronic flight bag apps. Either way, the products are the same, and I want you to know them cold. We've talked on this show before about AIRMITs, those Airmen's Meteorological Advisories for the widespread lower-intensity stuff. Today's product is the bigger, meaner cousin, the SIGMET. That stands for Significant Meteorological Information, and there are two flavors. There's the non-convective SIGMET, which covers things like severe turbulence, severe icing and dust or ash that drops visibility, but the one that matters for your July afternoon is the convective SIGMET in the raw text. It shows up with the identifier WST, say it as the letters. WST, that's the product code for a convective SIGMET. Issued by the Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City, Missouri. Here's what makes a convective SIGMET special and why you never ever ignore one. A convective SIGMET is issued for thunderstorms that meet specific criteria, a line of thunderstorms. an area of thunderstorms covering a good chunk of the sky with heavy precipitation, or an embedded or severe thunderstorm, meaning one hidden in other clouds, or one producing surface winds of 50 knots or more, or hail 3/4 of an inch or larger, or a tornado. And here's the part every student should memorize. A convective SIGMET automatically implies severe or greater turbulence, severe icing, and low-level wind shear. It doesn't have to spell those out. They come with the territory. If there's a thunderstorm big enough to earn a convective SIGMET, all of those hazards are baked in. They're issued for the contiguous United States in three regions, Eastern, Central, and Western. They come out routinely at 55 minutes past each hour. And when conditions warrant, they get issued as special bulletins anytime. Each one is valid for up to 2 hours. 2 hours, let that sink in. If a product only promises to be good for 2 hours, that tells you something about how fast this hazard moves and changes. A TAF you can lean on for a big chunk of the day. A convective SIGMET is a snapshot of a fast-moving animal. So let's walk through how you actually read one in the scenario. You're on the ground in Missouri, mid-morning, pulling your briefing. You scan the convective SIGMETs. Let's say there's one for the central region describing a developing area of thunderstorms over central and eastern Wisconsin, moving from the southwest at, let's say, 20 knots tops to flight level 450, that's 45,000 feet. Now, stop and read that like a pilot instead of like a weather report, central and eastern Wisconsin, that's your destination. Tops to 45,000 feet, there is no topping that in a Cessna 172 or frankly in almost anything you or I will ever fly on across country. You do not outclimb a thunderstorm ever, moving from the southwest at 20 knots. Now you can do geometry. Where is that line now, and where will it be when you'd arrive? If it's south and west of Oshkosh at 10 in the morning and crawling northeast, and your arrival is early afternoon, you may be flying right into the moment it parks over the field. And here's the practical takeaway that I want you to carry into every summer cross country. A thunderstorm's position on a chart is not where the danger is. The danger extends well beyond the cloud, you can see. The FAA's own guidance, and this is in the Aeronautical Information Manual, is to give a thunderstorm a wide berth. Stay at least 20 nautical miles away from any thunderstorm identified as severe or giving an intense radar echo. 20 miles. That gust front, that outflow, the hail that gets thrown out the top and falls miles from the rain shaft, all of that reaches way past the dark part. So even a convective SIGMET that doesn't sit directly on Oshkosh can close your route if it sits across the path you needed to fly. Now, let me give you the tool that ties all of this together visually, because staring at raw text is a hard way to build a mental picture. It's called the Graphical Forecast for Aviation, the GFA. It's on the Aviation Weather Center's website, and it has replaced the old area forecast that some of the gray-haired folks in the hangar still talk about. The Graphical Forecast for Aviation is a set of interactive maps. You can slide the time forward and backward and watch hour by hour how the ceilings, the visibility, the winds, and yes, the convection are forecast to develop across your route. For a summer trip to Oshkosh, I want you to open that tool and drag the time slider to your planned arrival, and then drag it a couple hours past that. Watch what the afternoon does. If you see the convective symbols blooming across Wisconsin right at your arrival time, you have just seen your afternoon and you didn't have to fly into it to find out. That's the whole game with convective weather. See it on the ground, not through the windshield. Let's talk about what you actually do with all this, because information you don't act on is just trivia. Decision 1, made the night before. If the Storm Prediction Center outlook is ugly for your arrival day, plan to be on the ground before noon. The buildups in July almost always fire in the afternoon. Morning is your window. I cannot say this strongly enough. The single most effective thunderstorm avoidance technique for a summer Oshkosh trip is a very early alarm clock. Decision 2, made the morning of, read your convective SIGMETs and your graphical forecast for aviation together. If there's an active WST on your route or your destination and it's moving toward you, you delay or you divert. You do not launch to go take a look. Taking a look is how VFR pilots end up somewhere they can't get out of. Decision 3, made in the air. And this is the one that takes discipline. Data link weather, the kind you get through ADS-B in on your tablet, is a gift and a trap at the same time. It is fantastic for strategic big picture avoidance, seeing that a line is 100 miles ahead and planning around it. But that radar image on your screen can be several minutes old, sometimes many minutes old. It is not real time, so you never ever use data link radar to thread between cells up close. The FAA has been crystal clear on this. Use it to stay far away, not to pick your way through. The gap you think you see on the tablet may have closed while the picture was refreshing. Now, let me connect this squarely to Oshkosh, because AirVenture adds a wrinkle that makes all of this even more important. When you fly into AirVenture, you're flying a very specific, very precise arrival procedure. You're following railroad tracks. You're finding the town of Fisk. You're flying at a specific altitude and airspeed. You're rocking your wings when the controller calls your airplane's color. And you're surrounded by hundreds of other airplanes doing the same thing. That arrival demands your full attention, and it demands stable weather. There is no room in that conga line to be distracted by weather anxiety. And there's certainly no room to be dodging a rain shaft. If the weather is marginal, the arrival gets suspended anyway, and now you've got a sky full of airplanes all needing to go somewhere else at the same time. That is a situation you want to watch from a lawn chair, not participate in. So here's how the whole thing comes together. You want to arrive at Oshkosh in the morning or early afternoon, well ahead of the buildups, with fuel to spare and alternates picked out. You want to have looked at the convective outlook the night before, rid your convective SIGMETs that morning, and walk the graphical forecast for aviation slider through your arrival window. And you want a hard pre-decided rule. If there's an active convective SIGMET over Oshkosh when I'd arrive, I hold on the ground somewhere south, or I go to my alternate, and I try again tomorrow morning. The Airman Certification Standards, the standards your examiner held you to on your check ride, they require you to make a competent go or no-go decision using all available weather information and to recognize the hazards of thunderstorms. This right here is that skill in the real world on the highest stakes VFR trip most pilots ever make. The examiner was looking for exactly this judgment. Now the sky is the examiner. And let me leave you with the honest part. Because I promised you I'd never pretend this stuff is easy. Turning around, or spending an extra night in a motel in Iowa 200 miles short of Oshkosh, when all your friends are already there posting pictures, that is one of the hardest things you will do as a pilot. It costs money you'd rather not spend, and it stings your pride. I know! But the pilots who've been coming to this show for 30 and 40 years, the ones with the good stories and all their original parts, they're the ones who learn to make that call early and make it without drama. There is always next year. The airplane and the pilot both need to make it home for there to be one. My thanks to the Aviation Weather Center, the Storm Prediction Center, and the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual, which is where all of this lives if you want to read it yourself. You'll find more of these walkthroughs over at radiohangar.com. Fly early, land before the buildups, and I hope I see your airplane rocking its wings over Fisk this week. Blue skies.